Well, since we just got done reading responsively Psalm 119, turn with me to Psalm 78 for our text here this morning as we resume the word hand. Psalm 78 this morning. I'm going to read the first 8 verses in our hearing. Psalm number 78. We are now going to pick up our series on the word hand, and we've already looked at, to some degree, reading of Scripture, the hearing of the Scripture, and then last week we had, I think, 4 lessons touching on how to study, or the study of the Scriptures on an individual basis for our own benefit. Well, now we're going to look at number 4 to the word hand, and that is the memorization of Scripture. Okay? Psalm 78, verses 1 to 8, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth." So once again, using Hebrew parallelism, especially when it comes to the genre of poetry, it is quite evident that the word law in the first half of verses 1 is synonymous, or is defined by the word words in the second half of verse 1. So when the psalmist here refers to the law of God, he is not limiting it to simply the Ten Commandments. He's also not limiting it to the first 5 books of Moses. Yet it can apply. It's quite evident that the word law and the word words points back to all of God's word. Okay? Not just bits and pieces. "I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us." So what are we picking up so far? That a generation of fathers has already passed down understanding and wisdom that was communicated by way of a parable, or parables in the plural. So get the picture. You have a generation of fathers, okay, that are now instructing the next generation of children, verbally communicating God's word, God's law, verbally to the next generation in parables. "We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he had done." Well, look at verse 4. It's safe to say that verses 4 brings forth at least 3 aspects that are going to be taught to the next generation. And what are they? The praises of the Lord, the strength of the Lord, and his wonderful works that he has done. Now, can I offer you this? Is not verses 4 giving more detailed definition to what is meant by the word law and words in verse 1? Verses 4 is actually defining the law and the word of verse 1. What are the things that are being communicated to this next generation of children in this form of parable or parabolic giving forth? Verse 4 tells you at least 3 things. "For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who shall arise and declare to their children." So notice, we have one generation teaching another generation, which then will teach the next generation all the way down in an unbroken chain, hopefully, if it's done this way. Now, we do know that some generations jump off the tracks and lose sight of this vision. And many in Israel, unfortunately, when you read the books of Samuel, Chronicles, and Kings, and when you find the Jews coming back from their exile, and then some 400 years later, Messiah comes on the scene, and then you see the state of the nation by the time John the Baptist and Jesus and the apostles are now publicly in their respective public ministries. You see how far the nation has gone in not apparently passing down the word of the Lord, the law of the Lord, from one generation to the other. There was a major disconnect once the exiles came back. And that's why they had a very hard time looking at Jesus and making any connection with him with the Old Testament scriptures, as the Old Testament scriptures defined who Messiah would be, what he would do, what he would say, what he would accomplish. They were unable to make that connection to him because, beloved, it's quite evident that in time, this Psalm 78 failed to be done eventually. And there was a break in that generational link and passing down from one generation to another, the things we find in verse 4. Verse 7. That they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and a rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast or faithful with their God. We now come to the fourth discipline, to the word hand, which is the memorization of scripture. According to Noah Webster's 1828 American Dictionary of the English Language, the word to memorize implies the following. Three things. Number one, to record. To record. Number two, according to the dictionary, to commit to memory by writing. To commit to memory by writing. Or to cause to be remembered. Now let's look at those three definitions. To record, to commit to memory, or cause to be remembered. Now let's see how we have applied these, even in our own life. Okay? When a church conducts a church business meeting, does it not record the events of that business meeting, the motions that were made, the one who seconded that motion, any Q&A following that, and then finally a vote up or down on any particular point of business that is brought before the church, right? So several years later down the road, when something may come up, and not relying on the frailty of human memory, what does a church normally do? You go back and you consult the records. You find that quite often in the Old Testament. Remember when it came to Mordecai? Remember when Mordecai discovered a plot to kill the king? And that plot was revealed to the king, and the people who were plotting an assassination were put to death? Well, everybody forgot Mordecai as far as any kind of reward. Remember that? And then lo and behold, that incident was brought back up again. And search was made in the records, and come to find out that it was recorded in the chronicles of the king's business that a man named Mordecai saved the king's skin. And the king simply asked, well, what was done for him? Well, the record book says nothing was done. Remember that? And then how God turned that around and let Haman be the one to publicly give accolades to Mordecai for saving the king's life. What about committing to memory by writing? I remember going back in high school, for instance, we had this one teacher, I think I've shared this before, but we had a teacher that would put up a new poem on Monday morning on the chalkboard, beautiful cursive writing. She had beautiful cursive writing. That was called the memory gem. And by Friday, everybody in the classroom had to stand and quote the poem verbatim. By that time, it was erased on the blackboard. Quote it verbatim. Then a sheet of paper was given to you, and you had to fold the paper in half. And the bottom part of the paper, you had to write out the poem with the punctuation. And in the top half of the folded paper, you were to color, draw in color a picture that came to your mind by Friday. But here's what she would require us to do. She would require that we write out the poem in cursive several times on sheets of paper, and those papers had to be turned in. And that was part of your grade. Then there was a history teacher that we had, and she would assign the exercise. Remember in the back of your history chapter book, or chapter by chapter, you had a bunch of review questions? Well, this particular history teacher wanted us to write the answers. But there was one little twist. You had to write out the question verbatim out of the book on a sheet of paper, and then write out the answer underneath. So you just couldn't get a sheet of paper and just jot down a date or a name or a battle for question 4 or question 9. You had to write out the entire question from the book, then write the answer in a complete sentence. You know what that helped us to do when it came time for the test? You had a pretty good handle on what was going to be on the test, and you did it fairly well. If you didn't, there was something wrong with you. What about cause to be remembered? What do we do when it comes to a calendar? 11 November, Veterans Day, Memorial Day, to remember, right? We have certain days, birthdays, anniversaries. So we cause ourselves to remember even historical events. You walk by a certain monument in any city in Europe, France or England, for instance. You go into the center of some small village, you're going to find a massive World War I monument with the engraved names of all the men in that village or that community that died in World War I. And so every time you walk by that memorial of stone, or whether you go to D.C., like we did several years ago, and you see the Washington Monument, you see the Capitol, you see the White House, right? And you see all those, the Vietnam War Memorial, remember that? That automatically stirs up your memory of the event that this monument is attributing back to. And so, beloved, we do that so much. Well, Webster's Dictionary also offered a definition for the word memory. And I want to share that with you. The word memory. What does the word memory mean, according to Mr. Webster? Number one, memory implies the faculty of mind by which it retains knowledge of past events. The faculty of mind by which it retains knowledge, notice, of past events. Not future, not even the present right now. Every time I speak and every time the clock ticks, once that tick is done, the present becomes the past. And then I can remember what I said, or what I didn't say, or what I should have said, right? And then secondly, it implies to lay up in one's mind, to lay up in store one's mind. So why should we memorize scripture? My next point. Well, beloved, listen carefully. Your goal as a disciple of Jesus Christ is to learn to think like he did. The goal of a disciple of Jesus Christ is to learn to think like Christ did. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And before you and I say, well, that's an impossibility, Pastor. There's no way in the world I can think the way Jesus was thinking. Well, let me kind of dispel that argument right off the bat. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 to 16. Here the Apostle Paul is dealing with a church that had numerous internal problems and issues. And it was amazing that even as he opens up the letter in chapter 1, he even addresses them as a church. He even addresses them as brothers and sisters. And yet the church had so much internal problem, doctrinal problem, even problems in their obedience or in their practical living. But look at verses 14. But the natural man, that's the man who's lost, the man who is in Adam, the man who is outside the kingdom of light, but dwells and lives in the kingdom of the evil one. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. They are spiritually understood. Or I can say, biblically understood. But he that is spiritual, the one who's been awakened, the one who's been quickened, the one, beloved, who is indwelt with the Spirit, that individual judges all things. That's interesting. We're told by many in the professing church we're not supposed to judge. And yet here, the spiritual man has the capability to judge all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. Now watch this. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we, underline, we, or circle it, we, the believer, the spiritual-minded people, we have the mind of Christ. So let's kind of dispel this notion that, you know, we can't think the way Jesus thought. Well, that's false. All you got to do is read the four Gospels, get very acquainted with the four Gospels, and see how Jesus responded to his enemies. Or watch how Jesus responded to those who were in real need, physical need or spiritual need. So your goal as a disciple of Jesus Christ is to learn to think as he did. Memorizing scripture is a key part of achieving this goal. When you memorize and meditate on the scriptures, it transforms the way you will eventually think. Old patterns of thought are now going to be replaced with God's patterns of thought. False beliefs are going to give way to truth. Old values are exchanged for God's principles. So it is quite evident now that as you look at the five ways to get the Word of God, you have the Word hand. Stop and think. You got a hand, you got a thumb, you got four fingers, but it's one unit. All right? And you need all four fingers and a thumb to properly use that hand in everyday use. Would you agree? So, beloved, all five of these are really not detached means of acquiring God's Word. They have to be done simultaneously in the life of any believer if you are going to profit. And I can't make anyone do that. And you can't make me do it. It is something that you have to want to do because you see the need to do it. So whether it's reading, hearing, studying, memorizing, and also too, you can see the close association with memorizing and meditating. You really can't meditate on any of God's Word unless you've done the first four. Okay? Meditation is like the icing to the cake or the Cool Whip to your pudding. Okay? Jesus, who is our example in all things, memorized and he meditated on the scriptures. This enabled him to resist the temptation of the devil. For instance, in Matthew chapter 4, for instance, okay, Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11 in your notes, there as his disciples, we follow his examples. And then we also are commanded to memorize and to meditate upon the scriptures. Remember when Jesus was battling with the evil one there in the wilderness? What was Jesus' weapon? It wasn't a fist. Neither was it harsh words. Neither was it Jesus simply capitulating and turning rocks to bread. Or jumping off the pinnacle of the temple and watching the angels save him. Or bowing down to the wicked one. How did Jesus combat the devices and the design of the wicked one? He quoted back scripture. Can anyone prove to me that Jesus had a copy of the Old Testament on his robe? And he pulled out a pocket Old Testament and told the devil, wait a minute, and he was thumbing through a bunch of pages? No. We've already seen in other lessons and other sermons that Jesus, as his manner was constantly in the synagogue growing up on the Sabbath day, giving attendance to the word that was read. And then there were times in a cycle of other men in that particular community would stand in front of the synagogue congregation and read the scriptures, like we see in Luke chapter 4. True? So Jesus was very familiar with the Old Testament scriptures because at a young age he was exposed to the scriptures. And then that harkens back to Psalm 78. Psalm 78, my text. Mary and Joseph were very faithful in applying Psalm 78 to their children, starting with their firstborn, Jesus Christ himself, by inoculating him with the scriptures, as they were given the scriptures, apparently, by their parents. Memorizing scripture doesn't require large amounts of time. I've heard people, you know, bring that up as an excuse and not to memorize. Each day, spend a few moments writing out the verse for the week on a 3x5 card. I've seen people use a 3x5 card. Then review the verses 4 times each day, breakfast, lunch, dinner, and just before you go to sleep at night. If this is something that you want to do, this is just a suggestion. Different people learn in different ways. Pay attention to whether you tend to see the words in your mind. Maybe you're a visual learner, or you hear the words in your mind, auditory learner, or you associate words with actions, kinetic learner. Most of us learn best if all three elements are present when we memorize. When we write down the verse on the card, you involve the visual, the kinetic centers of the learning. Reading the verse and quoting it aloud involves the auditory center of learning. So if you're a visually orientated person, you may want to draw pictures or symbols on a card to reinforce the idea of the verse. If you're a person who is more listened orientated, okay, then read the verses out loud repeatedly. I have done that. You may want to record the verse you are working on and listen to it throughout the day. I've known people who have put certain musical tunes to scripture in teaching young kids to learn the books of the Bible. True or false? You've taken a certain little tune and you've taken the books of the Old Testament or the books of the New Testament, and you put the names of those books to that particular tune, and you have the children sing the tune, and then as they get accustomed to the tune, then you begin to introduce to them the books of the Bible. Maybe even heard that in homeschooling. One way of learning. So, beloved, to me, the door is wide open. There's no excuse why you cannot memorize the scripture, unless you have a mental or a physical impairment. But if everything is working correctly and you have the time, the question is, do you have the desire or the want to? Here's another question. How can I retain what I memorized long term? Now, beloved, there was a time before technology when I was in the military and it came time to, at the end of the day, to write letters back home to Dad, or write letters back home to Grandma while she was still alive. Do you know that when it came time to writing their address on the envelope, I had no need to go to an address book? Remember those days when you had to retain in your memory the address of certain family members? What about the days of the old phone, before flip phones and smartphones and all kinds of technology we have today? There was a time when everybody's home had a huge phone book. Remember that huge yellow page or the white pages? It looked like another Bible, especially if you lived in a big city. Some cities you had several books just to break down the alphabet. But there was a time when you had memorized a whole bunch of phone numbers to different family members, or maybe even a business. Maybe your work phone, you're filling out an application. You didn't need to thumb through your cell phone address book to find the phone number. Nor did you have sticky pages in your wallet with all kinds of phone numbers. You had memorized those phone numbers over the course of time, whereby when you filled out an application, you just wrote down your address, the numbers. What about parents' names? Did you have to have a little sheet of paper to memorize or to retain or to recall your folks' names? No. I bet there was a time that you even had your license plate to your car memorized. Well, beloved, a key to memorization are Retention is one word that starts with the letter R, a nasty word meaning review. Review. Reviewing the verse you have already memorized is a key part of your daily memory work. I recommend the following approach. Now, this is just one approach. You can take it, modify it, throw it away, or make your own. But if you really want to memorize the scripture, especially those who may be listening to this series on our church website, Sunday to Saturday, let's look at a typical week. This is just a suggestion. Begin memorizing the verse for the week on Sunday. Maybe you can do it in between church services, or if your church only has one service, after you get done with Sunday lunch, kitchen's cleaned up, okay, you got a little bit of dead time, well, whatever verse you're going to memorize, or whatever passage, start. Monday, continue working on that verse for that particular week. Tuesday, review the verse. What about Wednesday? Well, review the first 5 weeks, or the first 5 verses, or whatever. If you're still in the first 4 weeks of this program, simply review the verse that you already know. Thursday, review the verse for the week. Friday, review the verse once again. If you haven't reached that particular goal where you can simply quote it to somebody verbatim without a mistake. Now, one of the things that I found out years ago when I was single in the dormitory was that there was a handful of Christian men who were all cooks were on one end of the dormitory. We were all on one end, the way it providentially worked out. And we would memorize our scriptures. And when we were off duty, walking around the base, we had our Navigator memory pack on us. And one person would play the devil's advocate and would come up with a question. And the person who was being given the question had to quote back the scripture verse that would answer or pertain to that allegation or to that question. And if you were careful one day, you would spot maybe two or three of us walking there in Lackland Air Force Base in San Antonio, and you would see us with this pack in our hand, and you would see somebody with their lips moving. They weren't talking to themselves. They were quoting the verse back. So I found out that the easiest way to memorize scripture was to have someone also doing it with you. Just like losing weight, they say that if you go on a diet by yourself, you're going to blow it. But if you're in a group of people, one can encourage the other in losing weight or in an exercise program versus exercising by yourself. It's very easy to get discouraged when you're on an exercise bike and you're all alone. But if you go to a gym or to someone's home and there's several bikes and maybe in some workout place or maybe there's an extra room in the home, come to find out that if you do that, you have more motivation and more encouragement. So this is the Navigator package. It has a King James verse on one side and then a more modern translation on the other side. It has on here, for instance, Christ paid the penalty. It has the address, Romans 5:8. It has the verse, okay? And this is B5. You have A, B, C, D. In letter A, there's 10 verses. B, 10 verses. E, all the way through, all the way through E, there's 10 verses. So you do the math. When we did our Navigator study books, you had to have this entire package of verses memorized by book 10. And you had to recite it to the leader of your class in order to pass on to your next book. Even though that book was done to go on to the next book, you had to quote all the verses that you had memorized at that time. What a way to spend time as a single person in the military. But we did it. So, why does one need to memorize scripture? So that you would have the mind of Christ and that you can be sharp with that mind. How can you retain God's word? easy. Review, review, and review. Well, beloved, how to effectively memorize the scripture? Let me give you another way. Now, you're saying, okay, preacher, you're giving me all of this stuff. Some of it's dry. It's maybe going over my head. When are you going to get into the scriptures? Well, that's also coming. Okay? So allow me to get through some of this preliminary stuff that may seem to be dry, but it's not dry. If it is dry to you, then that tells me you really have no desire to memorize God's word. Okay, let me give you another plan. Another for instance. Okay, listen to this one. Now, it's quite similar to the one I just gave you, but there are some nuances. The best way I know for memorizing the word is to use scripture memory cards. This is something I pulled off of the web. This is one person's suggestion, and so I'm going to bring it to the table. Some people use a 3x5 card. Some use smaller calling cards. But the important thing is that you carry your current memory cards with you wherever you go. And again, here's an example from my past. Now, sometimes when I take a walk, and the walk is going to cover a pretty good distance, I can take my package with me, and while I'm walking on my pathway, I have my cards, flip them, and then quote them back to yourself. So you're killing two birds with one stone. You're taking care of the physical body, and then you're taking care of the soul. Okay? That way you can review your verses during handy moments throughout the day. Maybe you're waiting at the doctor's office or at the dentist's office. You got time before they call you, before they sit you down and do whatever. During that momentary time, versus playing on the phone, or versus looking at the walls, or reading maybe Sports Illustrated, or maybe Newsweek magazine, take out your memory pack and begin to thumb through them until they call your name. Waiting at the dentist's office, at the bus stop, or as you drive to work, or wherever, you have a spare moment to redeem the time. Paul says to redeem the time. Following suggestions will help simplify your memorization. Write the verses on a card. Or if you want to, you can get online and you can buy the topical memory system right here for a few shekels. And you can separate the cards. They come in sheets. And then whatever translation, again, I would highly recommend King James. And then you break it down into the different parts, and off you go. Off you go. But if you don't want to buy this, the cheapest way, if this is your way, is write them down. Copy the verses right from Scripture onto a card, into your own handwriting is helpful, and start the memorization process. Have them typed up, that looks better. But if it doesn't do so much for your mind initially, you can write them out. If you have good handwriting, go for it. Learn the verse by topic. That's one thing that they have here. In this particular memory packet, A through E is a particular topic. And there's 10 verses that are associated with that topic. Just learning verses and their reference can be rather confusing unless you take a few seconds longer to learn a subject or topic for each verse. Rather than learning 50 random verses, it is far more effective to learn one verse for 50 different subjects. The reason for this is that your mind functions by subjects. When you want a verse on prayer or some other subject, it is simple to think of one if you've assigned that topic to the verse when you learned it. Several experts in this field suggest that it is best to learn 3 verses for each basic Bible subject before going on to the next topic. There are 2 reasons for this. First, it's easier to remember the verses if in groups of 3. If you originally learned them this way, then it is to learn one verse for each for 50 subjects. Second, if you're a young Christian, some subjects are more important for you to memorize at first than others. You will find some of the 3 verses of 50 subjects which you can learn in your program. Thirdly, learn the references. Always learn the references while memorizing the verse, or else you will end up in confusion with a lot of scripture in your mind, but no idea on where to locate them. Fourthly, Memorize 3 verses a week, if it's possible. 3 verses a week is a time-proven ideal for scripture memory. More than that tends to be confusing to recall over a period of time, and less than that often fails to keep you interested in scripture memory. 3 verses a week gives you ample time to learn them thoroughly with excellent recall. Again, I'm just offering you ideas. We will be looking at scripture, so hang tight. Fifthly, date and record each verse. It's a good policy to put the date you began learning a new verse on the back of your card. You should also keep a record in your Bible study notebook in case you ever lose your pack of verses. Sixthly, read the verse out loud and picture it in your mind. Now that's what I do a lot. I talk to myself out loud, especially when I'm walking. And Shunga, sometimes here on the Shunga Trail, along that little creek, sometimes you're walking by yourself, so you don't feel too self-conscious talking out loud. The easiest way to memorize a new verse after writing it down on your card with its subject and reference is to read it aloud 10 times, photographing it carefully in your mind as you read. After the 10th time, close your eyes and mentally picture the entire verse. Say it aloud from memory, looking at the card only when necessary. After you have said the verse successfully several times without resorting to the card, then you are ready to go on to your next verse. The ideal policy, if you have enough time, is to learn your 3 verses the first day of the week. This way, when you can say all 3 of them without help, you are reasonably sure that by reviewing them 3 or 4 times a day, you can retain them easily by the once-a-day review method to be explained. Memorizing 3 new verses can usually be done in 30 minutes, and the rest of your review program can ordinarily be done in your spare time, as long as you carry your current verses with you. Seventhly, review daily. Review daily. Educators tell us that review is the aid to learning. Review, review, review. It's imperative that you review your current week's verses several times a day, and particularly at the first of the week. You may have said a new verse 3 times perfectly and put it in your once-a-day group, but the first time you miss a word, bring that verse forward to your current section to be reviewed several times a day. And then eighthly, review for 7 weeks. The secret of lasting memorization is to review each verse for 7 weeks. It has been discovered that if you do this, then you can remove those verses to a once-a-week program for 7 months, after which you can drop them into a once-a-month review. These are just suggestions. Okay? These are just suggestions. We looked at our opening verse. Let's go back to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. One of the things I can kind of remember from my days down there in Texas with that one group of guys, okay, was that sometimes some guys would be memorizing other verses. And when you were doing the devil's advocate game, walking there on the base, your buddy would quote one of his verses, which you didn't know, but you liked the verse. And so you would go home and get that verse from your own Bible and jot that down on a card, and then you just simply added it to your pile. So there was a time before I left Lackland to go to Korea in 74, there was a time I had 150 verses memorized at one time. And because of not reviewing, I lost a lot of that recall, okay? To my shame. There were some guys there in the dormitory when we would meet up in some guy's room, just a fellowship, chit-chat, order a pizza, one of the guys could sit in his chair and could quote 1 Peter from memory. Yeah. I was working on Jude when I got my assignment to go to Korea. I had Jude half memorized. We asked our instructors there in the Navigator, okay, we got all the verses in our packs done. I got 100 verses. What do I do next? And the guy looked at us and said, fine, guys, pick a book. I picked Jude. I got halfway through before I had to go overseas. And then it fell off the radar. So that's my fault. But I could hear guys quoting all of James while sitting down in the TV room. TV wasn't on, and we kind of took over the day room. Everybody else was partying. And to hear a guy quote James with no mistake, that was something. Or 1 Peter. Psalm 78, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. Beloved, we got to realize that in the Old Testament times, and even starting with the New Testament era, with the coming of John the Baptist and Jesus and the 12 disciples, and matter of fact, a good chunk into the book of Acts, the saints did not have a copy of a New Testament. Nobody carried around a copy of the Old Testament. The scrolls containing the Old Testament were kept in the temple or in the synagogue. And you just couldn't go to the rabbi and ask to check out Isaiah's scroll like a librarian and then have it for several weeks and then bring it back. That wasn't done. So guess what happened? When the people gathered in the temple, or when the people gathered in the synagogue, and the scriptures were read out loud, these people in the Orient, even to this day, and I mentioned this before, hopefully it's not old hat, but you have some cultures in the Eastern world who learn more by hearing, okay, by the ear, whereby they have memorized the scriptures over time because of a keen, sharp sense of hearing. They can recall the scriptures for themselves. So they didn't need a copy of the Old Testament. Major portions of the Bible were committed to their memory just because they heard it repeatedly read to them out loud. And reading the scriptures in most churches out loud as a congregation has fallen off the radar screen for many reasons. The key reason is the flood of perverted English translations that don't read the same. It sounds like the Tower of Babel confusion. You find 10 different translations of your English Bible. Do this for a test. 10 different, totally different English translations. Pass out those 10 Bibles to 10 men. Have the men stand up. Have the men turn to Psalm 23. And on the pastor's cue, have all of those 10 men beginning to read from their particular English version, Psalm 23. And let the congregation just sit back, close their eyes, and listen to the gobbledygook that will come out of the mouth of those 10 men. Some guys will be done reading Psalm 23 while others are still continuing. And if you have the Amplified translation, he will normally be the last person who will still be reading while the other 9 are all done. Then take the same 10 men, give them a King James Bible, all 10 of them, and have them read Psalm 23 in unison. It sounds beautiful, like an orchestra on the same sheet. The public reading of God's Word is seldom found or heard in most churches today. Well, beloved, in days of old, that constant reading out loud of Scripture caused many people to retain the Scriptures in their minds. And therefore, they didn't need a book in their hand until the printing press came on the scene. I'll leave you with two examples, and then we'll close this first part, and then we'll next part will be just the verses. So you're going to get your Bible. Hang tight. In the old Soviet Union, it was illegal to have a Bible. Matter of fact, Bibles had to be smuggled into the old Soviet Union. Well, if a village had a copy of the Bible in their language, reports came out of that country over time during the Cold War of how the villagers would tear out pages of that Bible and pass them out to the villagers that would commit that page to memory. Since they couldn't have a Bible on them or in their possession, if one was found in their home, off to the gulag they would go in Siberia and become a popsicle and die, more likely, or be tortured or imprisoned. They would commit whole pages of scripture to memory. And then finally, another example that was quite chilling, very, very tearful, was when I was in the senior academy down in Maxwell Air Force Base in Montgomery, Alabama. One of our lectures was a four-hour lecture where there wasn't a dry eye in that particular auditorium of some 150 students. On the stage comes out a gentleman dressed in a Russian officer uniform. And there was no pre-warning, there was nothing was told other than that we were going to get a lecture by comrade with a Russian name. This dude comes on the stage in a Russian officer uniform, and he begins to talk trash about America. And the 150 students, mainly Air Force, there was some Army, Marine and Coast Guard NCOs in the class, start looking at each other. Some guys who were Vietnam veterans looked like they were going to get up and go for the stage. Seriously. We had no idea that the man in the Russian officer uniform was a former Army POW, United States Army, 18 years old. His first tour of duty in Vietnam in a group of 20 was ambushed. All but him were killed, and he was wounded. He faked being dead, but when they kicked him, he groaned. And he had the privilege of being 7 years in the Hanoi Hilton. That was the name for this prestigious prison in Hanoi in Vietnam. Brutal. One person to a cell, a stainless steel bowl that you would urinate and poo-poo in, and then you would take your feces and your urine, dump it in a bucket, hold it out, and then your rice would then be placed in the bucket. It wasn't washed. That's how you ate. 7 years. They formed an intricate Morse code tapping system that the Vietnamese were not aware of. They found out who was the ranking man in that particular part of the prison, and that was their commander. And it could have been in any service, Navy, Marine, Air Force. Whoever outranked everybody in that wing fell under his command. Most of these guys in there were pilots who were shot down. He happened to be a little one-striper grunt who got wounded on his first tour in Nam at age 18. When it came to going to the bathroom, the Vietnamese commies gave pages of the Bible to wipe their backside. No dry eye for 4 hours. He told you how he survived 7 years of that. You know how some guys survived mentally without cracking? From memory, they scratched on the walls verses of the Bible they had memorized in Sunday school when they were kids. And they would focus their attention on those verses. Or when the commies were not looking, they would reach into the toilet, which was a hole in the ground, and retrieve feces-covered pages of Bible, scrape off the mess, fold it very conspicuously, and hide it in their prison uniform, and then take it back to their cells. Okay? That's how some men maintained their marbles in the Hanoi Hilton. Until they were freed. Beloved, I cannot make you memorize the scriptures. You may have verses memorized. Maybe you're the one who's been able to take certain tunes, right? And put it the sacred scripture. We've seen choruses that way, right? Certain portions of scripture that are we are well familiar with, and we put it to a chorus tune. If that works for you, go for it. I am not limiting to you to anything I said here this morning. If you need to get a topical memory packet, just go online. You can find this. Matter of fact, this particular diagram is part of all of that, with the hand and the five ways to get the scripture into your life. You can find that online, and you can order the topical memory for yourself. Or if you're a 3x5 card person, go for it. If you want to put certain scriptures to music to make you memorize it like you did the books of the Bible, go for it. The question here is this. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to them the generation to come. What three things? The praises of the Lord, the strength of the Lord, and the wonderful works of the Lord that he has done. So if I can just encourage you to memorize scripture. Now, how many verses you want to memorize? You make that choice, not me. You want to memorize a book of the Bible? Go for it. I am not going to put no roadblocks or any speed bumps in your way. But if that's something that you think that you would enjoy doing, okay, then by all means, use this fourth avenue of acquiring God's Word in your life. Let's pray. Father, we come once again in your presence to thank you and praise you for your Word. And Father, a lot of us have names and dates and numbers and events memorized in our minds. We even have a memory. Some people can go all the way back and tell you things that they saw or did when they were 3 years old. That's a sharp memory. Father, help us to see the value of using all that we can to acquire your word into our lives. In Christ's name.